And you is tuned to 90.3 WZBC in Newton, and it is now time for Expanding Awareness, in which I often do conduct live interviews, either regarding some aspect of the paranormal. I might feature holistic health, and from time to time we cover environmental topics and animal rights. And with us live in studio is Stephanie Dumas, and she is a colon hydrotherapist, and she has a practice called Healthy Spirit in Lexington. And our topic for this morning, which may ruin somebody's breakfast here and there, is colon hydrotherapy. Okay, Stephanie, let's take it from the top. Well, let's begin with, I know it sounds like a stupid question, but what is the colon?
Yeah. Well, good morning, Victor, and happy early birthday to you.
Thank you, thank you.
Well, the colon, also referred to as the large intestine or the bowel, is the lowest part of the gastrointestinal tract. And it's the part that we most often connect with having eliminations, going to the bathroom. And so it's a very important organ, often very much overlooked and not discussed. Most people keep their issues to themselves. But very often, when we start to look at one's health overall, it's very often the root problem of why people aren't feeling good on a day-to-day basis.
And what are some of the symptoms with someone who's clogged up there?
Well, they vary. I mean, everything from obvious constipation, problems going to the bathroom. Some people have diarrhea, gas and bloating, but symptoms like headaches, fatigue, arthritic symptoms even. People who have soreness in the joints, achiness, mood, depression, all these kinds of things can be associated with a toxic buildup in the large intestine.
All right, now, how is it that a buildup in the intestine can manifest as symptoms like arthritis? Like, what happens in the body?
Well, it's all about toxicity, and it's about the buildup of toxins in the system. And so, as one progresses through life and the diet that we typically take in doesn't help our eliminations for whatever reason, some people have a predisposition in their families. They can see large intestine problems are an issue. The toxins will build up and accumulate, and they need to be stored somewhere in the body. And so for some people, they store in soft tissue. And it creates inflammation. And so when people don't eliminate the toxins, people start to get inflammation, soreness. And when we don't eliminate the toxins on a regular basis, then they just keep manifesting. The symptoms get worse. When I meet a person for the first time, I can start to tell them how their symptoms have started to progress. Like, first it started with low gas and bloating, and then they started getting tired, and then all of a sudden they're starting getting some headaches. And then all of a sudden they're realizing that they're experiencing, you know, inflammation in the fingers, soreness in the joints, like the elbows, and things like that. And then as a person cleanses, all those things almost magically seem to go away.
Now, when you say toxins, what are the toxins? What can they be?
Well, they're a buildup of release. When a person takes in, it could be environmental. Right. So it could be from, you know, what we're breathing in the air, could be preservatives that we're taking in, could be medications a person has taken over a long period of time. But in general, when we take in food, and the food, as it's moving through the system, we of course absorb nutrients, hopefully, as long as everything is working well. But then if there are things that are left in the system, they just keep decaying. Literally, what we hear about rotting, putrefying, decaying, this is what's happening. These organic materials keep breaking down, breaking down, breaking down, and they become toxic to the system. They're no longer helpful to the system. They're hindering the system. And if we get an accumulation of that, like I said, everything that we take into the body has to be stored until we can eliminate it. And so that's what happens to a lot of people, is the elimination piece doesn't work as well as it should.
And what relation do kidneys have as far as
elimination?
Elimination and storing materials.
Right. So the kidneys, obviously we release liquid, right? That's where urine is released. So, but the kidneys, the liver, the large intestine and the skin, these are all organs of detoxification. And so on all levels, these organs can start to struggle as well, get overburdened, especially because we want to use the large intestine as much as possible for the elimination of waste materials. If the large intestine, for any reason, starts to get sluggish or slow down or get backed up completely, which is very common, it's very common for me to work with people and they're having bowel movements once or twice a week, sometimes once a week, you can and I ask them, well, are you still eating?
It sounds like a problem to me.
Right, absolutely. And it's very common. This is not an uncommon thing. Uh-huh. It's extremely common. I mean, this... anything to do with the gastrointestinal tract is a multi-billion dollar industry in this country. And so, you know, we need to, you know, take a step back and say, wow, this is a chronic issue. It's not just a one-off. And so if the large intestine isn't releasing as many toxins as possible, then the kidneys are going to take a hit. Then the liver is going to take a hit. And people are going to start to have skin irritations, skin eruptions, because the toxins will start to back up into the bloodstream, which is called toxemia, and then it will start to come through the skin as well.
All right. Now, talk to us about the process of colon hydrotherapy. What is used? Can you describe the instrument and what happens in the process of having the process happen?
Right. Yes.
How's that for your articulation?
Well, colon hydrotherapy, as if you were to break the words down, involves using water to help cleanse the large intestine or the colon. Right. And so the reason why colon hydrotherapy works is we are taking filtered water and we are introducing it into the body through the rectum to help soften and move material out of the body. And when I say toxins specifically, I'm referring to, in relationship to the large intestine, fecal material, mucus, undigested food, and gas. And so the water, as it gets introduced into the body, helps move these things, soften these things, and engages the body, the body's natural muscular movement, which is called peristalsis, which is, if you can think of it, as an undulating, wave-like contraction. That's how things move through the gastrointestinal tract. So the goal is to engage this natural action that the body would take when everything is working well and we have eliminations, and helps move material out of the body. So that's the basis of what colon hydrotherapy does. The machines that we use, there are different types. There are open systems, there are closed systems.
What does that mean, open, closed?
Right. So, for instance, I use a closed system. And a closed system means that we use disposable tubing and a speculum. The speculum gets inserted into the rectum, approximately 2 inches, and that there's tubing attached to that speculum, which then attaches to the machine. So the water enters in through one tube, and then the material, whether, like I said, fecal, mucus, undigested food, gas, passes through a separate outflow tube through the machine into a drain. Okay, so that's a closed system, meaning that from the person through the drainage system, it's a closed system. Then there are open systems where one would only have a water tube inserted into the rectum and then be positioned in such a way that they're over a well, like an opening in a tub. You'd be sitting more on in a tub kind of a situation. And so the water enters into the body and then you eliminate into an opening. So it's considered open. So the material, when it passes from the person out, is not contained like it is in a closed system in a tube. Mm-hmm. And then you have different ways that the water is fed into the system, which would be a pressure system, meaning just like a sink, right? As soon as I turn the water on, the water is available, just like it is when we use a faucet, or gravity-fed systems, which were the original systems where the water is suspended above. And just like it's inferred, gravity is what pulls the water into the body.
Now, is this process at all uncomfortable, painful?
Well, that's a relative term. I mean, what I would describe as painful
may be,
you know, I don't know, maybe just fine by somebody else. But what causes the discomfort, and this is what I caution everyone on, is the gas. So very often when somebody has a lot of discomfort and they have pain, like people come in describing that they're doubled over in pain, it's the gas. Because the air builds up in the large intestine, and if we're not to be absolutely blunt, if we're not belching and we're not flatulent, so burping and farting, then any air that we take in and we feel it moving is trapped. It's trapped in there. Unless we're sleeping and we're not aware that we're releasing it. But when I talk to a person and they're like, oh, I always feel gassy. And I said, well, do you ever burp or fart? And they're like, no. And I'm like, well, this is why your belly is so hard, because the air is being trapped in there. And that's what often causes the discomfort, because we're already very pressurized, right? There's not any extra room in our abdomen. Every organ is jammed in there pretty tight. And so when we get backed up, there's obviously going to be pressure that's created, and now we're introducing water into the body, which starts to move things around. And when the gas starts to move, a person very clearly feels it, feels the shifting. We can hear gurgling. Sometimes it's even growling. I mean, the sounds that start to move, and people are like, oh my goodness, where's that coming from? But once it's released, once the water comes in and starts to move the air out, tremendous, tremendous relief can be felt by the person experiencing that.
What is heartburn? Is that related?
A lot of people experience heartburn, but it has nothing to do with the heart. It has to do with the digestive process. Mm-hmm. So people experience it with the heart because the stomach is very close to the heart. Mm-hmm. And so if the stomach is somehow struggling with digestion as well and is overwhelmed, then people can experience a burning sensation. Sometimes heartburn, I think symptoms are referred to gastric reflux or GERD, where literally the cardioesophageal sphincter, which is what closes off between the esophagus and the stomach, can become compromised on some level. And so stomach acids can come up into the esophagus. And so some people will experience burning from that. But interestingly enough, I've worked with quite a few people who have that on a regular basis. And by teaching them how to chew their food, this is a big problem.
You're not going to say you have to chew 100,
oh my gosh,
100 times.
I can't tell you how I harp on people about that. Uh-huh. Chewing their food to a paste or a liquid.
Uh-huh.
A paste or a liquid. So if you're eating dry food, like a protein or a bread, chew it until it turns into a paste. The saliva in your mouth is essential first step in digestion. And so when we chew really thoroughly, we break the food down to its smallest particle as possible. Then when it goes into the stomach floods with gastric juices, you know, the enzymes that we always hear about, then the stomach has an easier time of breaking it down into an even smaller size particle. So when that then drops into the small intestine, which is where we do most of our digestion, our absorption of nutrients, the small intestine is loaded with these little villi, these little tiny hairs, these little fibers, and that's what absorbs our nutrients. And I often will use my own hair as a visual for clients, and I'll hold some of my hair out and I say, you see these hairs? Now, what size particle of food is going to get absorbed in that? And then people stop and think, and I go, and how well are you chewing your food to ensure that you're getting maximum absorption? And then when people go on to say, well, but what happens if I don't chew my food? And I said, well, then those larger particles of food still have 17 to 25 feet of intestine to bumble their way through. And the whole way down, they're breaking down. Anything organic is going to break down. And when it breaks down, it's going to off gas. And for a lot of people, that's the root of their problems, is they're not chewing enough. It creates a lot of gas, and then it creates discomfort. You get a buildup of gas, enough gas in there that it actually can keep the fecal material from leaving the body. And we see it over and over. As soon as one releases air, stuff comes out.
And now, how thorough a process is it with a session with colon hydrotherapy?
Thorough as in cleansing? Or?
Thorough as in the entire intestine, where you're just totally clean.
Okay, so right. A lot of people will come in and they think that they're cleaning both small and large intestine, but this is a process that only works on the large intestine.
Mm-hmm.
And so the benefit of a colonic, let's say versus an enema, which is often a people...
I was just going to ask you that.
Right. The benefit of a colonic versus an enema is you have much greater ability to reach the entire large intestine. Because large intestine is broken down in sections, but while we introduce water into the body at a much slower, gentler pace, the water is able, once a person becomes accustomed to it, because this is a very different sensation, much different than any other kind of body work or, you know, acupuncture or things like that that a person might be accustomed to. But once a person gets used to it, or once the physical body becomes adjusted to the introduction of the water, it can reach all the way to the end of the large intestine. And so there can be a very thorough cleansing. But the problem is the large intestine is always in use. It's in continuous use. So a person wants to know that they're being totally cleaned, and that almost never happens. It's almost never going to happen. And it's never going to happen in one session. That's for certain.
Uh-huh. Okay, I want to remind you that you're listening to Expanding Awareness. This is Victor Robert Venskus. And with us live in studio is Stephanie Dumas, and she is a colon hydrotherapist, and she has a private practice in Lexington called Healthy Spirit. And I'm going to invite folks to give us a call here at 617-552-4686, 617-552-4686, with your questions, comments, and opinions regarding colonics. And maybe you yourself have had a session with a hydrotherapist. Give us a call. Let us know what your impressions have been. 617-552-4686. Now, I would imagine folks who are older have more difficulties in that area. Am I right?
Not necessarily.
Not necessarily.
Mm-mm. No, a lot of the... Well, it depends on men or women.
All right. And why? What's the difference there?
Well, I believe, and, you know, I'm not an expert on this, but I believe that it boils down to how men and women are raised. How boys and girls are raised. And little boys are raised where it's okay to burp, and, you know, everyone talks about the brothers.
Like that?
Yes. Now, you wouldn't catch me dead doing that. But you see, there's a big difference. You know, women are raised, girls are raised, you don't burp, you don't fart. Some of us, of course, aren't even allowed to go to the bathroom. It's very different. Whereas you work in an office, you see men carrying the newspaper into the bathroom, and it's
or another kind of magazine.
Sure, whatever floats your boat, Victor. But absolutely, it's encouraged and it's accepted,
right?
You know, what would one think if the same suited up woman, corporate woman, you know, took Vogue into the bathroom and didn't come out for 20 minutes? It would be right. The talk of the office.
Well. All right, let's take this call. Good morning. You're on the air with Stephanie Dumas.
Good morning. How are you this morning?
Hey, Peter. Glad to hear from you.
I was just wondering about, I've seen ads for products that are supposed to clear the colon of what they call impacted matter, which apparently is a long-term thing. It results from hardening of material within the colon, and it sticks to the walls of the intestine and stays there apparently for a whole lifetime in some cases. I wonder if you have any comment about that and whether colon hydrotherapy can release that stuff.
Right. Well, good morning, Peter. Yeah, there are a lot of products and a lot of really great herbal products that help to cleanse the large intestine. And impacted material... You know, I have read a lot of all the same materials as well, and there are a lot of stories where they say that we have this black plaque that coats the large intestines, and we're all impacted by this, and, you know, you should be fearful, and, you know, it's the root cause of all evil. And I'm not quite sure that that's actually the case. A lot of people, you know, when they hit the age of 50, the doctors start encouraging them to get colonoscopies, which is... A diagnostic procedure to go in and check the large intestine and make sure everything is okay, check for polyps and things like that. And my clients will often bring in the pictures that are taken, and you see this nice, pink, healthy-looking tissue. And so I'm not quite sure that we all have issues with this this black plaque. But impacted material can be a little bit different. Now, a person who suffers from constipation, who has long-term constipation, can have impacted material, meaning hardened, just like you said, hardened material that's stuck there and it's not moving. And what the colonics are very successful with doing, and again, it may not happen in one session or two sessions, and also we would want to look at, you know, including an herbal regimen to help go in and break down the material as well. But the water softens. And with the use of consistent water flow and allowing a person to take deep breathing and allow it to sink in, basically, it will soften the fecal material enough so that it will start to move out. And literally, it looks like sludge when it leaves the body. Mm. And so, in my opinion, and in my own personal experience, because I myself suffered from constipation my whole life, you know, from birth, pretty much, I've had digestive issues. It can be very transformational. So someone who has gone from doctor to doctor to doctor, been considering even colon surgery because they're not able to go to the bathroom, and the doctors say you have impacted material, and they're trying to tell them to take Metamucil and giving them stool softeners, and nothing is helping, will find great relief by doing several sessions with colonics and getting that water in there to move that material out.
Okay. All right. Thank you for the information.
All right. Thank you so much. And the number here is 617-552-4686. 617-552-4686. And we're speaking with Stephanie Dumas, and she is a colon hydrotherapist. And I want to remind folks that we do have six lines, so keep it ringing, and I'll push that button when it is your turn. 617-552-4686. Good morning. You're on the air with Stephanie. Good morning. You're on the air.
Oh, we lost him.
Oh, here we go. Good morning. You're on the air.
Well, okay. Let's see. This is a really disgusting program.
Thank you. I try.
Especially
around,
I love it.
Especially around breakfast time.
Joke. Okay, what works? I mean, I have no problems, even though I'm an older person.
Great.
But hot, strong coffee works.
For you.
Well, I mean, sometimes it works when I don't want it to. I mean, because I have no problems.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see.
For some people it does. For some people, it does, because you have no problems, like you said. So you have a strong peristaltic response, which, like I said earlier, is your muscular movement. And you know, for you, that's not your issue. For somebody else, they could drink 5 pots of coffee a day, and nothing is going to happen. And that's where the frustration comes in, is where people start to do all the known natural stimulants, and they don't know what else to do.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess this is a problem basically a lot for older folks, because my mother would take a laxative every day.
Mm.
I mean, very unfortunate for her. But I guess that helped her some, you know, sometimes.
To get some sort of relief.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, this is really cool program.
Oh, thank you.
All right. Thanks so much.
Okay, thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Good morning. You're on the air with Stephanie Dumas. Hello, it's your turn. Oops, they signed off. Good morning. You're on the air.
Yes, hi. Good morning.
Morning.
My name is Jeff. I live in Alston.
Hey, Jeff.
I had this once quite a few years ago. It is quite effective. I think people don't realize just how effective it is until they've had one.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious to know, can this be self-prescribed, or do you still need a doctor to write a prescription for this?
Oh, that's a great question. Good morning, Jeff. Well, in truth, colon hydrotherapy is not a licensed practice, and it's not considered medical. It's a voluntary sign yourself up for a cleansing. However, now that I've said that, there are also a list of contraindications, meaning a list of conditions that a person would not be recommended that they do colon hydrotherapy. And so when someone has been diagnosed, and these are medical, very serious conditions, when they are diagnosed with these conditions, I will not do colonics with them, and would prefer to either talk to or have them talk to at great length their primary care physician or whoever their medical supervision is to get clearance before proceeding with colonics.
And what medical conditions would preclude having one?
Oh, goodness. There's a lot. Ulcerative colitis, severe anemia, congestive, anything to do with the heart, congestive heart issues, recent surgeries, fissures, fistulas, severe hemorrhoids. I mean, people have hemorrhoids, but severe hemorrhoids are much different. Anything to do with bleeding, rectal bleeding, abdominal bleeding, pregnancy.
Wow.
There's quite a list, and they're all pretty severe. Any renal or kidney issues, all these things need to be discussed and determined. Crohn's disease can be a condition, diverticulitis, anything that's in an acute hyperinflamed condition, we would definitely want to discuss at length and most likely want to get the medical supervision involved.
Jeff, you have anything more?
Yeah, I have one other question. I'm seeing on the internet that they're now selling equipment to do this in your house. I'm sure it's not as good as what you have, but I'm wondering what is your opinion of these, you know, do-it-yourself kits that are being sold?
Well, it is my understanding that you cannot purchase a colon hydrotherapy machine unless you have a prescription. For instance, for me to get my my machine and set up my office, I had to get a prescription from a medical doctor because these are medical devices that, at least my machine, not all, but the device I use is FDA registered. Now, there are kits that are basically, upscaled enemas that a person can do. Like there's one called a Kalema. Which I, again, have several clients who also have at home where it's a board, you know, and it's a bucket. And the idea, it's Kalema, meaning half colonic, half enema. And so that the water gets introduced to the body and then you're lying on a board. So you get the effect of lying on a table like you would with the colonic. And the water gets introduced in the body and your lower region, you know, your butt basically is placed over a hole which is positioned above the toilet so that you can then eliminate into the toilet. And some people get relief with that as well, but I don't think it does quite the same job that a colonic can do. But it's effective, especially if someone feels that they have a real chronic issue and they need to do this very frequently, because colon hydrotherapy, like any kind of alternative therapy, can it's not inexpensive.
Okay, thank you. I'm very glad that you're on the air. This is an important topic.
Thank
and I think
you,
that
Jeff.
People do need to hear more about
well,
it.
Well, maybe you'll get another colonic.
One of these days.
Okay.
Thank you so much, Jeff.
Thank you. Bye.
Good morning. You're on the air with Stephanie Dumas.
Hi.
Hiya.
I wanted to share experience about something that worked for me.
All right.
Oh. Is he gone?
Go right ahead.
Oh. Hi. I suffered with a bowel obstruction for almost 6 weeks, and I didn't even know what it was, really, until I tried drinking 12 ounces of aloe vera juice, and within 12 hours, my cramping and diarrhea stopped, and I passed what it was that was blocking me. It had been a piece of dental floss had split apart in my mouth, and I had swallowed part of it, and it had wound around and become some impacted feces, and I had passed it the next day after I drank the aloe vera juice.
Uh-huh.
Wow. That almost sounds like, what I would label as colon hydrotherapy urban legend with the whole dental floss piece. But that's fantastic that the aloe vera juice worked for you. And for a lot of people, taking a couple of ounces of aloe vera juice on a daily basis helps keep the large intestine moving very nicely because it does have a laxative effect. So basically what you took was a natural form of a laxative, which helped loosen up the material and break it down. And it's fantastic that your body recovered and was able to pass it on its own.
Yes. Thank you.
All right. Thanks so much. I'm glad you found that remedy. Good morning. You're on the air with Stephanie Dumas.
Good morning. Interesting show.
Thank you.
I have a question. There was a woman I knew that had, I don't know how many years that she had colonics. And near the end of her life, she had strokes. And after a while, she had to have a colonic to move her bowels. She just couldn't do it, you know, move her bowels. She became impacted and everything unless somebody came in and administered, you know, an enema or something just to get her bowels moving. And I'm wondering, does a colonic hydrotherapy ever, do your bowels get lazy? You know, does there anything happen like saying, well, there's an external, you know, impetus here, so we're going to slow down peristalsis or something?
Right. No, actually, it's just the opposite. Because I wonder if the woman was actually getting colonics or if she was doing enemas.
Early in her life, it may have been colonics. Although, you know something? She may have had terms mixed up. So you set us straight.
Right. Well, I think previously we've heard of the term of high colonic and things like that, which is really the idea. It was taking an enema, and they would have these soft, flexible tubes that they would feed into the large intestine. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, the idea of being high, meaning the water would get higher up into the large intestine than a normal enema, which typically only floods the lower 6 to 12 inches of the intestines. Colon hydrotherapy... well, let me first explain the difference between an enema and a colonic, because I think a lot of people don't know the difference. An enema is very successful at helping clear material from the lower part of the large intestine. So for someone who doesn't understand the anatomy of the large intestine, the lower left-hand portion, so within your pelvic bone, within your hip bone, that area is where often people will experience discomfort. So an enema comes in. You hang the, if you're using a bag, those little Fleet bottles are pretty useless, by the way, for everyone that's out there. They don't seem to be very effective for most people. But if you have a bag enema, you fill it with water and you hang it, and then you have to lay on the floor. When that water gets introduced into the body, it's coming in at quite a clip. And the idea is that it's going to create a spasm. It's going to create a contraction so that the person feels the need to immediately purge. And then you get on the toilet, and hopefully it works, and you eliminate. That kind of a system does not encourage peristalsis, does not engage the body's natural muscular contractions. So like they say on average, an enema is that the water enters into the body at 1.8 pounds per square inch, which for most of us, pounds per square inch means nothing, except that the number 1.8 is significant. When you compare to colon hydrotherapy, when we start a session, we start at around 0.25. So it's a much less pressure going into the body because we're not trying to shock the body. We're not trying to trigger or, like you were saying before, stimulate or replace the body's natural stimulation. We're trying to engage the muscular contractions. And by altering temperature of the water, which is what one will often do during a session, by warming it or cooling it, we are forcing the musculature of the large intestine to contract and to release. So in truth, like I tell a lot of the people I work with, we're working out your large intestine. We're giving it a little mini workout. We're strengthening the musculature so that in turn it will strengthen the peristaltic response. And so it doesn't replace it. In fact, it strengthens it. And for myself personally, I can't speak for, you know, whatever, the thousands of colonics I've given, but I can speak about myself. I had almost no peristaltic response. I had a whole lifetime of constipation, of being on a lot of medications and antibiotics and things that really messed up my gastrointestinal tract. And so I never went to the bathroom. And when you're not going to the bathroom, that means the peristaltic response is not being engaged. And if the peristalsis is not being engaged, that means the musculature of the large intestine becomes weak, or what people will hear, sluggish. Mm-hmm. And so the colonics, for me, and I experienced this firsthand, absolutely returned my peristalsis. It took a number of sessions, however, because I was 30 when I got my first colonic, and I've been suffering this my whole life. So it took a number of sessions, but absolutely, it returned, and, you know, I've had no difficulty since then. Okay. So it would vary. You know, a person could come in with the exact same symptoms as me. They might respond in half the time that I did, or it might take a little bit longer. But colon hydrotherapy, as a rule, strengthens the peristaltic response, should not create a physical dependency. It, however, could create an emotional one because people tend to feel really good afterwards.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great answer. Thank you.
Thank you.
I've wondered about that for years. Thank you.
All right. Well, glad you found the show.
Thank you.
All right. Bye now.
All right. The number here is 617-552-4686. 617-552-4686. And our guest for this morning on Expanding Awareness is Stephanie Dumas. And she is a colon hydrotherapist. And we welcome your phone calls, as always, at 617-552-4686. this is going to sound like really weird, I'm sure. The makeup of the feces, all right? Mm-hmm. What should it be? Should it be always solid? Should it be soft? And what... I'm having trouble articulating this question, but what...
What's our poop supposed to look like?
That's right. As far as a healthy elimination goes.
Right. Well, in general, you want it to be formed, of course. So, you know, people who have really loose stools or little rocks that come out. I used to call mine rabbit pellets.
Mm-hmm.
This is not a sign of a healthy elimination. You would want the stools to be formed. You want them to be full. Now, we have to keep in mind the large intestine, if you read an anatomy and physiology book, they'll say is on average between 4 to 6 feet long, 2.5 inches in diameter. But I prefer to tell people from a medical doctor that I heard speak at a convention that the large intestine is relative to your height. It's almost as long as you are tall and about as big around as your wrist.
Wow.
Which makes sense, right? If you see a little petite woman and you see a big, you know, 7-foot-tall NBA player, does it make sense that we would have the same size large intestine? Absolutely not. So the idea is when we have an elimination, it should be pretty full. And by full is there should be a certain amount of diameter to it. A lot of people will come in and say, you know, I have really thin bowel movements. And I'll say, like a pencil. And they're like, oh, exactly like a pencil. And so once I explain the diameter of the large intestine.
Now, what is that saying?
What that's saying is that they're constipated.
Oh, okay.
So that if you think about, if you can envision this tube about the size of your wrist and only a pencil is being pushed through. So it's almost like almost the most center material is being moved out because the body's trying so hard to get rid of these toxins. That what's the rest of it doing? It's just hanging out there. And the longer that material hangs out there, like the gentleman that called earlier, it will become hardened and it will become impacted. And a person's going to physically feel lousy in response to it. They're going to get tired. They're going to feel toxic. Their mood's going to get impacted. They're going to start to lose their appetite. You know, all these kinds of things because they're carrying this load. In a physical load too, not just a metaphorical one.
Now, we all know what alcohol might do to the kidneys, but does mm-hmm. alcohol also affect the intestines?
Well,
hard alcohol or
right.
beer?
Right. Well, some people find that alcohol gives them the runs. And so some mm-hmm. people welcome that, especially if they tend to be constipated. So mm-hmm. they're excited that, you know, they have, you know, the effects from drinking too much beer and they end up in the toilet and they're like, oh, okay, well, I feel better now. But for problems, the difficulty with alcohol in general is that it is a sugar. And many of us have a hard time breaking down sugar. And so when we take in a lot of sugar, it causes a lot of issues. It can cause more gas and bloating. It can create more inflammation. If we think about the different forms of sugar, sugar can become very sticky, pasty, almost fudgy. Like I can tell if I've worked with someone on a regular basis, I can tell when they come in for a colonic if they had a big partying weekend, like if they had a wedding or a celebration. And I know people think I'm crazy. They think they're like, I can tell them what they've been eating. I can tell them, you know, a lot from looking at what's coming out of their body. And they just laugh because they know there's nothing that they can hide. I mean, you're pretty well exposed at this point. But a lot of it has to do with sugar. And so with alcohol, it has to do with sugar. Beer has an extra problem because a lot of people can't handle the fermentation of the beer uh-huh. as far as, you know, the hops or there's wheat in beer. And so a lot of people have troubles processing that as well. And it creates a lot of gas and bloating.
Mm. All right. We have another call for Stephanie Dumas. Good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning. I want to talk about polyps for a minute. I'm wondering if somebody has polyps, which they might not know about, if this procedure would do any damage to the intestine or cause bleeding.
Well, this process only introduces water into the body. And so I'm not sure how bleeding would be caused by this, because like I said, there's nothing abrasive that's going into the system, nothing that would like pull on the skin or catch on the skin, you know, anything like that. Because, you know, a polyp is like a skin tab, basically, to simplify it. And so I can't even think of a story or an example or a case where... Even if I think back, you know, stories of 20 years ago, 50 years ago, where that would be the case. I mean, certainly that's another reason why a lot of people get colonoscopies. But to my mind, there's nothing that I can think of that would cause any troubles, like you said, with an undisclosed polyp in the large intestine.
Uh-huh. Another question is there any exercise one can do to stimulate this response?
Peristalsis?
Yes.
Well, there are some breathing techniques that I've learned through Qigong or other traditional Chinese medicine, where you literally push out the abdomen and pull it back in, which is a very unusual form of breathing, considering most Americans don't breathe more than, you know, 3 or 4 inches into their lungs. This is another problem. Most people don't take deep breaths. And when we don't take really full deep breaths, that's part of stimulating the peristaltic response. Just to back up and give a very brief anatomy physiology kind of perspective, very simple. Again, I'm not an expert or a doctor or anything like that, but the nervous system has two parts to it, a sympathetic and a parasympathetic. And that's not important so much as to understand that one is fight or flight and one is relaxation. Most of us exist in fight or flight on a day-to-day basis, where the problem is when we don't get enough into the relaxation mode, that's where the peristalsis lies. So the person who is a go, 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 keep it together, got to do this, got to do that, got to do this, got to do that, very often are going to find themselves constipated because they're never in the relaxation response so that the peristalsis can kick in. So that would be a big piece of it. So breathing alone can stimulate peristalsis. It doesn't even have to be a specific exercise. It's just getting the body to relax. Over and over, I have clients, when they finally make it to a vacation somewhere, they come back and they're like, oh my God, Stephanie, I went to the bathroom every single day. And for me, it's not a big surprise. It's like, well, because you were relaxed.
Wow.
Yes, I find sometimes that a short-term remedy for constipation is just deep breathing exercises.
Absolutely. It's all about the breathing. It's not all of it. For some people, it's much more than that. But that is a key component to good colon health. Absolutely.
Okay, thanks.
All right, thanks for contributing. Good morning. You're on the air with Stephanie Dumas.
Hi, Stephanie and Victor. It's Ann Caputi.
Hey, Ann.
When I was training students in Polarity, I was dubbed the colon queen.
Oh, wonderful.
Because I emphasized colon cleansing as the key to so much about health. And so when they all graduated and I was invited to their graduation, they introduced me to their families and everybody who was there. This is Ann Caputi, our Polarity teacher. We call her the colon queen. And it's very important, absolutely. And colonics, I've been there, done that, too.
Great.
And so I wanted to just endorse what you're talking about today, even though some people find it a kind of creepy topic.
It is.
It's essential to health.
It is. Thank you very much. It's very scary for a lot of people. This is,
yes,
in this
is.
Society specifically.
There's a lot of shame.
There is. There's a lot,
yes,
of shame, and everyone thinks that they're the only one that's encountering this, and it's so not true. I find over and over, I encourage my clients, talk to your siblings. Talk to your parents, and you will be surprised that Aunt so-and-so has always had a problem, and so did your mother, and so does your youngest sister, and, you know, and your father, you know, always had to take, you know, special remedies on every Sunday morning, and everyone is shocked. They are shocked at how prevalent it is, even within their own families and friends, because we don't talk about it here.
Yeah, we don't like to talk about elimination in this culture.
No, it's in it's because it's reviewed is it's
dirty,
unnatural.
Private.
Exactly, exactly, yeah. And it's just the opposite. It's the most natural thing. When I work with clients from other countries, other cultures, they're like, cleansing is what we do. Mm-hmm. You know, they grew up as kids. They don't even know why they're drinking these teas, but it's a part of what they did every spring and fall. This is something that they did. And here we're so shut down on a lot of levels. And that's what makes this work so powerful, is it really opens up a whole new level of awareness.
I agree.
Okay. Thanks so much, Ann.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Good morning. You're on the air with Stephanie Dumas.
I had a question. First of all, I once heard that the road to good health is paved with good intestines.
That's a new one on
that's
me.
That's wonderful.
Thought I'd pass that along, no pun intended.
I'm gonna tattoo that on my butt.
location.
That's right.
Question. Is it possible that diseases can be passed along as the machine runs the liquid from you and back into you? I didn't want to have anything backfire. No,
right.
No pun intended.
Well, you're full of it today, aren't you? No pun intended.
Yeah, right.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely. I can't speak for every system because I obviously only have the equipment that I use, but the way the closed system functions, the system that I use, like I said, there's a separate water tube that comes in, and then there's a separate outflow tube. And then and that kit is used once. It's disposable. Oh. So it's used once for the client, and then it's tossed. And then there's the sanitation fluid that's run through the machine, you know, in between each session as well. That's a germicidal that you wouldn't even want a drop of it to touch your skin. So there's no risk of that. In the past, years ago, when they didn't use disposables, that was possible. Because they would use a stainless steel speculum, which then would get autoclaved. And, you know, if a person's autoclaving system wasn't working correctly,
right,
then certainly an infection could get passed.
Yeah.
But not anymore. There's just way too many precautions that are being taken.
Yeah, and there's some things now that defy the autoclave. Mad cow. Prions, for one thing.
This is it. And so I feel I kind of have a little issue because it creates a lot more waste as far as, you know, the environment goes. But at the same time, this is about safety for the individual.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, makes sense. Well, thanks for your help. You've made me very anal attentive this morning.
Wonderful.
Thanks.
Thank you so much. Good morning. You're on the air with Stephanie Dumas.
Here's some funny ones.
Hello.
I hope this isn't redundant, but I'm just tuning in. I'm wondering if I'm very, very regular, like a clock. When I miss a day, I'm wondering if, does your body hold on to food if you don't eat enough? Is that why it doesn't happen?
Right. Okay, this brings up a great point. Now, there are a lot of people who will come in complaining that they're constipated, that they just don't go to the bathroom. But in fact, once I start to talk to them, I realize they're not eating enough food. This is another part that when one reads that we should be having 2 to 3 eliminations a day, it's based on 2 to 3 meals a day, not a cup of yogurt, not a banana here and there, or, you know, a little cup of soup. That often is not enough to trigger the peristaltic response. I often explain the body working like a domino effect. And so when we eat, there's a push, push, push that starts to go through the whole system. And so it is possible that if you are normally very regular and you happen to skip a day, for you, it could very well link back to, gee, I didn't eat that much.
Okay.
So absolutely that's possible, but it sounds like your body is quick to recover as well.
Yes, it's like a clock.
What, it's wonderful, wonderful. Count your blessings.
I guess. I've also noticed protein. When I eat protein, is everyone different? But when I have protein, it moves everything along.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, some people digest protein very well and others not so well at all. So it is a very different thing. But if you found types of food that work well for you, then that's something you just want to store in the back of your head in case you ever do find yourself getting a little sluggish.
Okay. Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks so much.
Oops. Thanks so much. And the number here is 617-552-4686, and we are speaking with Stephanie Dumas, and she is a colon hydrotherapist with Healthy Spirit in Lexington. You might look that up, and we also publish contact numbers on the playlist at wzbc.org. You might just click on today's date. Good morning. You're on the air with Stephanie.
Hi. Let's see. I had another question.
Oh, there's a fee for a second question.
Okay. Stephanie, you briefly mentioned Crohn's disease and said that this procedure was not good for those people. But can you tell me any other thing about Crohn's disease? Because my brother-in-law has that.
Okay. Actually, I should enter a little caveat there. If someone is in active Crohn's, then they are not a candidate for colon hydrotherapy.
Right.
However, I work with a lot of people, not a lot, well, a lot, I should say a lot, who have Crohn's, but it's managed, and they use colonics to keep themselves from having an episode. So it depends. Oh. This is where the contraindications become open to interpretation, and where it's very important to have an in-depth conversation with the colon therapist as far as what the symptoms are, what stage of symptoms one is in. So it depends. You know, a lot of my clients don't even take medications anymore for Crohn's because they're able to manage the inflammation and the discomfort and, you know, all the things that can go along with it
through diet. Oh, through diet.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so, goodness. Most of what goes wrong with us, it has to do with what we're putting in our mouths.
Yeah.
And that's the basis for pretty much health in general.
So what diet should he stay away from?
Well, that would be something I would need to talk to him about as far as symptoms, because the difficulty with Crohn's and a lot of the GI conditions, the symptoms are not cookie cutter. They're very different. I could talk to five people with Crohn's and they can come back and all have different symptoms, have it being, you know, irritating different parts of the intestine that's not even in a specific area. So it would be something I would need to talk to him about. But
okay,
very often grains would need to be avoided. Interestingly enough, sugar. And when I say sugar, I mean not just table sugar and sweets, but I'm talking bread, grains, potatoes, alcohol, excessive amounts of fruit. Sugar creates inflammation, and so he is a chronic inflammatory problem. That's what Crohn's has. A lot of these GI things have to do with inflammation, and sugar is the name of the game, and that's what needs to be minimized. And again, whenever I use the word sugar, and all my clients get to know, sugar for me covers a lot of food.
It does. It does.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
All right, thanks so much for calling.
Okay, thanks, bye.
And you are tuned to 90.3 WZBC in Newton. Now, are there any good books on the subject of colonic hydrotherapy?
There's a lot. Uh-huh. There are a lot of great books out there.
What would you promote?
Well, there are several. I couldn't even just pick one because every book I pick up offers pretty much similar information.
Okay.
Even on the internet, there's a great website called Colon Therapist Network, and they have a ton of information. So I think most people nowadays tend to go to the internet to get their information.
Sure.
Much easier than going to buy a book. But that's where I would go.
Mm-hmm.
And not to get too distracted by the crazy pictures that one can encounter. Because there's a lot of crazy pictures with that, like I was referring to before, that black plaque, mm-hmm. this rubber tar-like mm-hmm. material that you could swing like a lasso.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's people are all get very fearful when they see that, and they're afraid that that's what's in them. And like I said earlier, I'm not so convinced that that's all.
All right, now,
our problem.
Now, what about natural laxatives, okay? Prune juice.
Mm-hmm.
Is that as good as having a colonic?
Actually, prune juice was the only thing I used as a teenager and in mm-hmm. college mm-hmm. when I wasn't able to go to the bathroom. And as a personal response, absolutely not. It created a lot of discomfort. It was like acid coming mm-hmm. out of my butt. And I think mm-hmm. anyone who's done prune juice on a regular basis would probably attest to that and mm-hmm. was... a little bit effective, but mostly just create a diarrheal kind of response. Whereas again, with the colonic, can come in and kind of sweep things out. Then there are herbs like senna. Senna is a very popular one. Cascara sagrada, that's another very popular. That's like the strongest of the herbal remedies to stimulate. And anybody who picks up a colon cleanser is most likely going to see either of those two as an ingredient. And while they're natural, which is fantastic, and not chemical, like maybe like an X-Lax or things like that, will replace the peristaltic response. And this is something that a gentleman was referring to earlier and concerned about colon hydrotherapy, that it's a laxative. It doesn't matter that it comes from, you know, a natural food store. It's still a laxative. Mm-hmm. The body's going to use it as a cue to go to the bathroom. And if one continues to use those on a daily basis, the body will not ever get a chance to work on its own. It will always be looking for an external source to say, okay, now it's time to eliminate.
All right, now we're coming to the end of our time. What about eating meat and versus a pure vegetarian diet? We hear that meat putrefies in the body. What is your take on that whole matter?
Well, you're talking to a carnivore, so most people are surprised that I'm not vegetarian, but I find that there's no one diet that works for everyone. Mm-hmm. There are many people who would like you to believe that that's the case.
Right.
I know from personal experience and literally have worked with thousands of people now, that's not the case. And everything putrefies in the gut if it has not been absorbed and it's not being eliminated. So I feel kind of bad for the meat because it gets the bad rap. But everything is going to break down, and we experience it. You eat broccoli, and someone has flatulence, you're going to smell it, and it smells like something has been rotting, you know? So everything is going to break down and rot in the system if it's not being eliminated. And meat is an individual thing. We know if we're digesting meat well. And the key, again, to go back further in what I was saying, is chewing. It has to be chewed really thoroughly. Okay. Really thoroughly.
All right, as everyone's eating their cheese omelets.
That's right. Listen to me. Chew to a paste or a liquid.
All right, thank you so much, Stephanie Dumas. And again, she can be reached through Healthy Spirit in Lexington for expanding our awareness regarding colon health and colon hydrotherapy. And if you're just now thinking of a question, or you're just too darn embarrassed or shy to call up on live radio, Stephanie is going to hang out in the studio taking your calls at 617-552-0590. 617-552-0590. And if you get an answering machine on that, hang up, make believe that's a busy signal, because that means she's talking on that line. So just keep trying again. 617-552-0590. Thank you once again.
Thank you, Victor. It was my pleasure and honor.
It was a lot of fun to have you, for sure.
We'll do it next week, too.
we'll do it again. If not next week, in the weeks ahead, for sure. All right. You are tuned to 90.3 WZBC in Newton.